Chapter 15. You can cut it up and just put it in with the Kings and you see all the way through here. So chapter 15, it says, "Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah." We see that things are going on here. Jeroboam is reigning and a new king comes in over Judah. And we see he's also called Abijah in 2 Chronicles 13:1. It talks about him. So they have a couple of different names. They have a couple of different things that are going on. But these people are ruling and reigning. And Abijam, as you look, or Abijah, is also a bad king, but they pretty much all are. But he says, 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom, which, if you look in 2 Chronicles 11 and in chapter 13, you see that it's probably Absalom, his daughter or granddaughter, from as close as they can put together. But anyway, there we are. We're in that place. And he reigned in Jerusalem, and he walked in all the sins of his father. Notice the wording there. It isn't just that he wasn't doing well, but he walked in those sins. He occupied himself with those sins. He walked in the way of those sins and just had those sins upon his life and just desired those sins in his life and followed after his father. So we do have influence, not always a good influence, but there's an influence that goes on there. But he said that he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. His heart wasn't there. The Lord always looks at the heart to see the condition of the heart. And certainly for you and I, then, the application is good. No matter what goes on around us, the Lord is still looking at hearts. The Lord is still looking at the attitude of the heart, the condition of the heart, in how we're doing in it. It doesn't matter what the rest of the kingdom is doing. It matters what we're doing with the things of the Lord. It doesn't matter what our kingdom is doing, our United States. It matters what we're doing in it, how we're walking through this life. And he wants our hearts perfect with him, walking in those ways. So that the application is there just for us to purpose in our lives, that we would walk in perfection with the Lord, or at least as close as we can come. We know we're in these earthly tents, but there's still a way out. And that way of escape is to come to Jesus and to walk his ways. It says, "Nevertheless," then, in verse 4, "for David's sake did the Lord give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem." So because of the Lord's goodness, because of the Lord's grace, he sets up these kings. And it says, "Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." We go, wait a minute. I read Samuel. But thank goodness that there's forgiveness with God. Thank goodness that he's a gracious God and a loving God. And not that he's just going to dismiss what we do without confession and repentance, but with a heart that attitude that's towards the things of the Lord. If we have that heart attitude towards him, there's forgiveness with God. And thank goodness for that. There's a blood covering. And just think, if there was no blood covering for our sins, what we would do right now. We would have absolutely no hope of eternity in heaven, because there's nothing unrighteous or unholy before God. And so we know that it's just because of what Jesus has done that we have that. And it says in Isaiah that he's going to put on us those robes of righteousness. The righteousness that we don't deserve, the righteousness that only he can give. And what a blessing that is. And we should realize more and more how wonderful God is to us, how gracious he is to us, how loving he is to us and long-suffering, that he wouldn't see all the sin. He said that there's only one matter I had with David, and that's what he did with Uriah the Hittite. But notice, too, that there was also forgiveness for that. But he was upset with David because of what he did with Uriah the Hittite, and we know the story. But we just see the forgiveness that God can bring to a life. And boy, that's the place that we want to stay. We don't want to abuse it and say, well, since God is so forgiving and God is so loving that I can get saved and do anything I want to do. That's not God's heart. And that's not a heart after God. That's not a heart that's purposed to follow the things of the Lord. That's a heart that says, I want to get away with as many things as I can get away with and do whatever I want to do. And whenever we see that, we know that there's a heart that's not after God, it's after self. And so we've got to be careful and look at that. But just the wonder of this, the wonder of God's forgiveness. And it says that there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was a war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So the battle continues between north and south. The battle keeps going on. It's amazing that if there is God in the presence of the world, if there is God who has come and ruling and reigning over the world, and people have endorsed him and embraced him and loved him, there would be no war. But without God, there is no peace. And if there is no peace, then there is war. There's a battle that's going on constantly. And we have the consequences of that in our own lives because we see that there's a battle between our flesh and our spirit. There's a war that's going on. There's a battle that's going on for your soul. And that's how important you are to God, that he would send his only son to die just for you so that you could have eternal life. And that's a battle. And we see the battles in the heavenlies. It's just amazing to us, the things that go on for God to grab a hold of us and get us. But that's how important we are to him. And that's also how much he loves us, that he would send angels and everybody else that's involved in the kingdom into that battle for your soul. His direction, his love. Because how is it that we get saved? It wasn't because we were good. It was because God was good and interrupted our lives. And we think, well, if he's going to spend that much time interrupting our lives, how much time does he spend interrupting everybody's life? Because there's going to be nobody that's going to be able to say before God, you never gave me a chance. You never interrupted my life and showed me yourself. And we know that's not going to happen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same with every one of us. And so continue to pray for your family members that the Lord would interrupt, but that they would be responsive to it and not just blow it off. So it says that Abijam in verse 8 slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. And we know Asa is a good king. We finally got one, Yahoo. Trouble is, he's got just as much sin in his life as everybody else does, so we're going to see those things. But it says, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah, and 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. A long reign, and that's just wonderful when a country can have a good king going in the right direction and doing the right things. And it says his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom, and we saw that in the second verse that it's probably Absalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. We know that David wasn't his father, probably his grandfather, but in that place where we're seeing that the relationship that goes on there, and God looks at the genealogies and those relationships, and and sees those things, and he compares him with David. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Not us, but the Lord working in us. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. And we think that's just new to our land, our country, our time. It's been there since forever. And isn't that sad? Isn't that why Sodom and Gomorrah was overthrown? The hailstones were thrown down upon those cities because it was so bad. You wonder how bad it could have been, because we see it in our land now, and just the way they advertise themselves, the way they push themselves, the way they throw themselves into the limelight, and yet we haven't seen any hailstones coming down in San Francisco or wherever we think they are. And we go, how bad was it before God finally took action? It's just awful. And yet he still had a remnant there, didn't he? Because Lot was there. And he pulled Lot out before he destroyed him. Just showing that he's going to take care of his remnant. He's going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of those who are his. But just the awfulness of that. But Asa here did that which is right. And don't we have people that say, well, you can't do that. It's not right. Well, if you're king, I guess you can do it. And if your heart is set in the right way, that it can be accomplished, it can be done, because Asa does it. And we go, oh, Lord, help me to put into action those things that you bring to my life, those things that you talk to me about, those things that are in Scripture. Help me to know what is the right way. And it says that Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. How did he know? By reading, by praying, by the Holy Spirit touching his life and in ministering to him, those things that were right. Everybody has a moral code. It's just that not every moral code is God's moral code. Because we see Abraham coming into some of those countries. And even one of the kings that was there, as he took Abraham's wife, because remember, Abraham said, she's my sister, she's not my wife. Way to go, Abraham. but the king, when he found out, prohibited every man in the country from getting near Abraham's wife, because he had a moral code. And the moral code was that you don't take somebody else's wife. And so he gave her back to Abraham and saved her in that sense. The Lord doing it, of course, but there's moral codes all over. It's just which moral codes. There's even moral codes in prison. I used to do prison ministry years ago, and there was sections of the prison that they would hate other sections of the prison because those guys are bad. We're just here because we got caught, but those guys are bad. And it's just like, hello, you're all in here for sin.
We had a guy say at our Bible study, he said, you know, if those guys knew what it meant when you wear your pants halfway down your butt, what it means to the guys in prisons, they would never do that. Because in prisons, when your pants are halfway down, it's because you belong to somebody there in the jail.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I
really didn't need to know that.
Yeah, but still, I don't think they know. Or do they?
Don't know.
But the young people.
Yeah.
I think they know it came out of prison, but I don't think they know, because they think that's cool.
Right.
But they don't know what it represents. You know?
But by now we know, because if we know, they know.
Because the church is always the last ones to find out what's going on out there. So, so anyway, here we are in this place. It says that Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. So on your sheet, you see that Asa was a good king. We're already through three kings, and we're just getting started here. But he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. But not everything right. We're going to see that as we go through. But it says he took the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. You know how many enemies he made? Probably a lot. But you know what? If you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to make enemies. Mm-hmm. But the biggest enemy that you have is Satan. These other people aren't really going to matter. The one we need to keep our eyes on is Satan. And not keep our eyes on him, but to know what our enemy is doing, because if we keep our eyes on the Lord, he's going to guard us, and he's going to guide us, and he's going to help us, and he's going to show us. He's going to give us discernment and wisdom. But they remove the idols. What a guy. I'm impressed with this guy. He not only comes against the people that were Sodomites and removes them out of the land, but he removes the idols that others had made, even his father's. Remember Gideon? He went and destroyed his father's idol, but he did it at night because he was scared. But God honored it because they found out right away who knocked down the idol. Well, it was Gideon. Well, let's go kill him. And his father stood up for him. God's going to take care of his people if we're doing what's right. It may be we're going to suffer consequences, but God's going to take care of us and God's going to minister to us. But impressed with what can happen when your heart is set in the right direction, in the right way, doing the right things, that those things can be accomplished. We can get those things out of our household. And when we got saved, I mean, Kath and I did the same thing. We took our records, broke them in pieces because we didn't want anybody else playing them. So we broke them so they wouldn't be able to play them. You know, sometimes you get stuff and I don't want to get rid of this. This could be a collector's item, but I can't have it in my house. I'll give it to my friends. What are you doing to your friends? You're killing them. You know, but to really just get rid of those things. And you go from wrong to right. And you do those things because God enables you and God shows you. And you just walk in that direction because in verse 3 it says that what's his name there, walked in the sins of his father, but Asa did that which was right. Mm. So there is a possibility that we can do what's right. We can do those things. We can stop watching those TV shows. We can stop listening to those programs. We can stop looking at the computer screen and do what's right and walk in the right direction. There is that possibility and there's that way because God is going to enable us. And it says then in verse 13 that also Maacah, his mother, or his grandmother, depending on which commentator you look at, but anyway, she was there, and he removed her from being a queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa then picked up and destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. And you look and see that takes a lot of guts to come against your mother or your grandmother, either case, but to do what's right, to be more in love with Jesus than you are with family members. And it says this in Luke chapter 14, down in verse 26, when they went, and it's, well, I'll pick up at verse 25, but it says, and there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he can't be my disciple. And you just look at that and say, well, wait a second, we're supposed to love our families. But he's not saying that you would hate them, but not put them in a place that would be above your love for the things of the Lord. And that's always where we have to come to. Even though we love our families, even though we love our kids, we can't let that relationship come and be an interference in our relationship with the Lord. It has to be the Lord first. Because otherwise we're loving part of the world, we're loving part of God. And that is never going to happen. He said you can't love God and mammon too. You can't love the things of this world and you can't love the Lord with the same intensity, with the same fervor, because it just won't match. You're going to hate the one and love the other. And we see that if we love our family more, then we're not going to love God as much as we should, or as much as he demands, as much as he desires. And boy, I don't know about you, but just seeing all the things that are going on in the world, my heart is just getting turned more and more. I was crying out this morning, Lord, you got to help me to love you more, because I see my heart can just fall in love with the things of the world so quickly and so easily. And I want to love you more. I don't want to love you less than I love something else. So show me, Lord, and just help me. And we come to those places and we just realize, Lord, I need more of you and less of me. And we sing that, don't we? More of you. But do we mean it? You know, I really have trouble with that wonderful, it's a wonderful hymn and I love it, but I surrender all. And I sit there and I mumble my way through it, because it just, well, I might surrender something. Here, I'll surrender Fig Newtons for this week, Lord. How's that? Yeah, you just come to that place of just picking and choosing what you're going to surrender. And really, the Lord is, I want all of you. I want every part of your heart. And just, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can open my heart that much to you, but I see more and more the necessity of it. Because if we don't, do we really love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And the Jews cried that out, didn't they? It's part of their Shema in Deuteronomy. You know, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And do we do that? And if we're not, Lord, why not? Because I got another love. And it's just, oh, Lord, help. Help. Yeah, usually it's me. Oh. But it says then in verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord in all his days. And what was going on was that in a lot of the high places, they would do worship to the Lord. But that wasn't the place of worship that he had called for. He called it for Jerusalem. But Asa didn't take away those high places, but he did take away the idols out of the high places. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his counsel, on his countenance, because remember, he's talking about coming to David's house, and the brothers are coming before David and before Samuel. And Samuel said, well, this must be the guy, because he's good looking, he's handsome, he's big, he's strong, he's probably a football player, so I really want him on my side. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look on his countenance, nor the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for he looketh on the for man looketh on the outward appearance, but what does the Lord do? He looketh, in your King James, that ETH is an ongoing verb. He looks at those that are right and continues to look. And don't you want God looking on you and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant? Can you imagine the eyes of the Lord coming to man and just peering through him? And just as you melt before him, realizing your sin, and realizing all the things that you have. Just, Lord, look on me, but look on me with favor, Lord, please. Ugh. But the high places weren't removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was still perfect or mature in the things of the Lord, still looking towards the things of the Lord, still looking towards God's heart. And it says this in 1 Kings 8, verse 61. He says this, where's 61? There it is. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God to walk. Let it be perfect. And how is it going to be proved that it's perfect? Because our walk is going to be in the things of the Lord. That's what's going to prove where our hearts are. So let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments. Oh, Lord, help me to do that, because I can't do it. Not only can I not do it, most of the time I don't want to do it. I want my own way. I want my own comfort. I want my own direction. But he says, I want all of it, but I want it towards me. And so in verse 15, he says, and he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated unto the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Remember, they were taken out. They were given to other kings. They were taken out by force, but he's bringing them in back in. So which means, because he's walking in the things of the Lord is blessing his reign, and he's not keeping those things out of the house of the Lord. He's bringing them in. He's bringing in those first fruits. He's bringing in the heart that's after the things of the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't need silver and gold. Because remember, we think, well, man, we got to give him stuff. He already owns all of it. So what does he need it for? He says in Scripture he wants our hearts. And if our hearts are there, he's going to bless us with those things. And we show the blessing that the Lord gives us by giving back to him. It isn't because he needs it. He just wants to see our hearts in it. So we're walking in those truths. And those things are manifested in our lives by the things that we do with them. Just like we saw in 1 Kings there, to love the Lord and to bless him and to bring all those things before him. So he brought in all those things which his father's dedicated, which he dedicated into the house of the Lord, the silver, the gold, the vessels. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel. So we're on to a new king here, Baasha. And he, of course, is a bad king, because you look at the kings of Israel, they're all bad. So you don't even have to look at the sheet, because any king of Israel is bad. It's amazing. But it's interesting, too, that his name means to sting. He's a stinger. Oh, boy, you don't want a king that's going to sting you. You want somebody that's favorable to you. So Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah. And here's the first thing he does to sting, to come into that place of bringing damage to God's ways, to God's things. And boy, you look at that, and he comes up against Israel. And we see America. And America is so fickle right now, because we have a fickle government, we have a fickle president. He says one day he's not going to give anything to Israel, and 2 days ago he says he's going to give stuff to Israel, but he does it with conditions. He's just back and forth. He's trying to please everybody. He's hoping that the people that like him forget what he's doing that they don't like. He's trying to keep numbers up, and he's looking for everybody. Instead of doing what God says to do, he's looking to see what he can do to stay in favor. But the trouble is, he's staying in favor with man, and man is never going to get him into heaven. And it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. That's why we need to stand for what we stand for. We're going to stand with Israel. And if people come against us and we see that there's been demonstrations in front of some fundamental churches, because they're standing with Israel, and those poor people from Hamas that butchered 1,400 people should be spared. Wait a minute. We even see the UN doing it. They've come against Israel, I don't know how many times, with censures because of what they've done, but they haven't censured Hamas once. And just, what is wrong with us? We're not doing what's right. We want to do what's pleasing to man instead of doing what's right. And we've got to get rid of all that stuff. That's just a distraction to the churches, to the people of God. We got to do what God says. We don't have to, but the best place for us to be is to do that. And that's where we want to be. Lord, I want my heart right with you. So help me to get rid of those distractions and just do what you said. And not care about what anybody else says. It's not that we don't care. It's just that we want God's heart first before anybody else's. Because people are always going to be mad with you. Even if you're walking in the world, people are always mad at you. Because there's people mad at George Soros right now, even though he's handing out millions and billions of dollars to people to protest, to do this, to do that. Some people are mad at him because he's given some people more than he's given them. So now they're mad at him. You aren't going to please him, but you can please God. Isn't that amazing? You aren't going to be able to please man, but you can please God. And I can do whatever I can do for Kath, but I'll never please her completely, because that only comes from one place, and that's from God. I can't please her the way that God can please her. And I can't accomplish it, and I want her looking to God, because if she's looking at God, that means her eyes are off of me and I can be okay. Yahoo. And if mom and if mama's happy, everybody's happy. So there we go. That's probably not biblical though, so I gotta put that censure in there, I guess. So he brought those things in. There was war in all those places. So Baasha comes up. He's the king of Israel. He comes up against Judah and builds Ramah, a city that's there, that he might not suffer any to go in or to come out to Asa, king of Judah. He's jealous because there's people still going to Jerusalem to worship. So he sets up Ramah so that nobody can get through in that direction. Just amazing. So Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hands of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Timbaram, the son of Hezion, I wish they had real names, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. So he sends all this money to Syria. Wait a second, didn't we just read in verse 15, he brought in all the things that his father had dedicated, the things that he had dedicated into the house of the Lord. And again, how did he have them? Because the Lord gave them to him. So what's he doing now? He's giving them to the enemy. Oh, Asa, even though we do right things and we have a heart that's towards the Lord, we still got to be careful because we can fall so quickly. We can fall so quickly into the trap of the enemy, into believing that the enemy's right, into believing that they have more strength than God has. It's amazing that we can even go there, but the enemy confuses our mind and brings us to that place where we can believe it. Oh, and that's so dangerous. So he took all the silver and the gold that he just gave to the Lord, and now he's giving it to God's enemy. Oh, at least go to somebody that's good. Trouble is, there's nobody good around him, so he can't. So he gives them to Damascus, to the king that's there. And he said, there's a league between me and you and between my father and your father. Probably speaking of Solomon that had made that league with all the nations around him. And behold, I've sent unto you a present of silver and gold. So come and break the league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. I want him to depart. You notice what it doesn't say? And please take note that sometimes the things that aren't said are bigger and stronger than the things that are said. He didn't pray. There is no prayer in there. Lord, what do I do? Lord, help. Because sometimes the Lord does use the enemies to bring in a blessing. But this is not one of those times. He's doing it without looking to the Lord, without asking the Lord. And that should always be the first place that we go to. Lord, what do I do? What direction do I go? Help me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent captains of the host which he had against the cities of Israel and smote Ijon and Dan and Abel Beth-Maacah in all of Cinneroth, which is the Galilee region, with the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard thereof that he left off the building of Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. So he comes back and realizes Syria's there, so he's coming back to take care of them. And so then King Asa makes a proclamation throughout all of Judah, and none was exempted. And they took away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha had builded, and King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Mizpah means watchtower. So he builds this watchtower to watch for the enemies, to watch for the things of the Lord. He still wasn't doing right without looking to the Lord, but he's trying to keep Judah together. He's trying to keep Judah in that place of being God's kingdom, and to protect himself from the others. And it says in verse 23, the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and all the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Chronicles is just a filler for what's going on here. And so you can go to Chronicles and take a look at it and just see all those things. With Asa, it's probably chapters 14 to 17 in 2 Chronicles. But you look at those things and put them all together and just see all that's happened. But it says, and Asa slept with his fathers. He went to that place and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. So we go on to another king. We see Jehoshaphat, and here's another good king that's coming. And so we got a blessing that's coming out. But in 2 Chronicles 16:10, it says this about Asa. One of the things that has gone on with Asa wasn't that he was great. And at the end, he did foolishly. And I'll pick up probably verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in their behalf, whose heart is perfect towards him. And that was Asa, right? But herein you have done foolishly. You've done something foolish. Therefore, from henceforth, you shall have wars. And then Asa was wroth with the seers. So the Lord had sent Hanani to Asa to tell him that the Lord was not excited about what he was doing, and he was wroth with him. He was angry with this man of God that had come. Who's he really angry with? It's not Hanani, it's God. And we're always mad at God when he doesn't agree with our sin. Isn't that amazing? Men, it's one of the commentators said that men hate God because God hates their sin. And we do. We don't like God if he hates our sin. What do you mean I can't be a sodomite? What do you mean I can't be an alcoholic? What's wrong with you, Lord? Don't you know it's pleasurable? No. So it says that Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house because he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, the last low, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So as you put all those things together, you see that Asa slipped and went over here, did this thing, went over here, did this thing. And we go, what is wrong with you? You got blessed. You got things coming into the Lord's house. You got silver and gold. And all of a sudden you start going off. And we do that, don't we? And it's a place where we enter into, where we know that God is pleased with us, that we're walking in the ways of the Lord, that we're doing the things of the Lord, that we have victory in the Lord, that we start getting away from sin, and we start slipping if we're not careful. We always have to be watchful. And it's amazing, he would build a city called Watchful, and he stopped watching. That's how important it was. We need to be watching for the enemy to come so that we can push him aside, so that we can battle him, so that we can be away from him, but we stop watching. We got men on the city walls that aren't watching anymore. And the church isn't even watching anymore for the things of the Lord. We want to please man so we can have people in the churches. A sad place to go. So the rest of the acts, we see those things, and it says that he slept with his father, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign. We know he's bad. He's in Israel. They're all bad. So Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of King Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And you start getting confused because you got Israel, you got Judah. There's some reigning 41, some 2 years. And you start bouncing all over the place and you see them all together. But It's just amazing trying to keep these things in order, but God can, so thank you, Lord. So, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yes, he did. And walked in the way of his father. Notice the active verb that's there again. He walked in the ways of his father. His father was evil. He's walking in those ways. He's walking in the evil that was there. In his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. In the influence that he had, he made others to sin. And we need to be careful. As much as we can sin, we can make others to sin because of our sin. But the opposite then can be true, that if we're righteous, we can help others to walk righteously because of where we are in our life and our walk. And that's part of our witness. That's part of who we are. Witnessing isn't always just us handing out tracts and telling people they're going to hell if they don't believe in Jesus. Sometimes our witness is that we can just be kind to others and have the kindness of God in us to give to others, and other people see it. And we never know who we're influencing, but God does, and he's watching. So in verse 27, it says, "And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nabadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass that when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam, and he left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he had spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite." This man who we read about a couple of chapters ago is still on the scene, still speaking, still ministering. And because of that saying, everything was accomplished that God had prophesied. When God's people are walking in the truth and prophesying, those prophecies always come to pass. And those are true prophets. Those are true men of God. We just watched a thing in the other night about one of the big churches in California. And it's an awful church. They're doing stuff that's unbelievable. But one of the guys got on and he calls himself an apostle, because that's what the church does. They're all apostles and prophets in the church. And you have to listen to them. You don't listen to God. You listen to them because they are God over you. They're out there. They're laying on people's graves that were wonderful men of God. And they call it grave soaking, so that you can soak up the spirit that's there and have the right spirit. I know, you'd believe that rather than God, right? And besides that, if they're saved, they're not even there anyway, so what are you soaking up? I mean, you're soaking up the bugs that are on top of the gravestone and you're not getting anything else. But just to have that stuff and have that stuff that's coming up. And one of the guys, one of the prophets from the church, because he had prophesied, and he said, "I prophesied three things, and people are mad at me because only two of them came to pass." And he goes, "Does that make me a false prophet?"
"Yes."
And he goes, "No." Wrong, because God's prophets, when they spoke, every single part comes to pass. If not, they are false prophets. And what are they saying? "God's word doesn't matter. It's my word that matters. I'm not a false prophet." Oops. So what happens? They're getting rid of the word of God, and you follow us because we're right. Oh, amazing. And the churches are just going crazy. You listen to God. You be like the Bereans. It doesn't matter what I say, it matters what God says. And don't listen to me without listening to God, because it's God's word. Please. "And because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned," in verse 30, "which he had made Israel to sin by his provocation, whereby he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger." You don't want to be in a place where God's angry with you. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And again, in Chronicles, you can see all this stuff. And there was a war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all of Israel in Tirzah. And he reigned for 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked. There's that word again. I don't know how many times it's in this chapter, but the walking, your active ministry that's going on in your life, are you walking in the things of the Lord? Is it an active faith or is it a passive faith? Or was it active once and now it's become passive? Now you go to Bible studies just because that's what you do. It should be an active faith where you hear the words of the Lord and you go in the things of the Lord. But he walked in the way of Jeroboam in his sin wherewith he had made Israel to sin. The sad places that our lives go to when we're not keeping our faith fresh, we're not keeping our relationship fresh in the things of the Lord, we have that danger of falling away and going a different direction. That's why our faith should be as active today as it was the day that we got saved. And if it's not, you can change it. You don't have to stay there. We can get up and move from that. Lord, forgive me for my faith failing. Help me to walk in faith now, Lord. Give me the strength. Give me the vision. Make my relationship with you fresh today, Lord. And forgive me for the way I've been. And God wants to forgive. God wants to redirect and get us in the right place, because that's a blessing that he wants to give out to his people, and that's you and I. So Lord, help us. So Father, we look to you, Lord. We are in these tents that are in a constant battle, and sometimes we get tired of those battles, Lord, and we give in and surrender just because we're tired or just because we're out of fresh faith, and we just want to go in our own direction, and or we see somebody else getting blessed and we think it's because of you, and really it's just because you're blessing them just because you want them to come to salvation. Lord, we see all these things going on and they distract us. Instead of keeping our eyes set on things above, we start having them set on the things of the world. So Lord, help us. We need your strength, we need your heart, we need your ways. So be with us, Lord. Direct and lead us, and Father, may we be those witnesses. As we see how much these kings were witnesses to their kingdoms, we want to be faithful in what you've given us. We want to be faithful in your kingdom, Lord. We don't have our own kingdom. We want to walk in your kingdom, in your ways. So help us with that, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we ask that you just minister to us now. And Father, that we would be those good witnesses and not those bad witnesses of your goodness, your grace, your love. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.